Welcome to the Beyond the Diagnosis podcast with me, Dr. Kylie. I'm so glad you're here. If you find this empowers you to take back control of your health instead of relying on the system in any way, please share this with three of your friends. Invite them to come join us. Are you ready? Let's dive inside. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're tuning in, we are going to be, well, I'm thrilled today to introduce to you Brandy. Her and I actually just met about 10 minutes ago, so we're getting to know each other as well, but I've been following her on Facebook, and I love what she's about, her story. She's going to dive into her story for us today, but just so you know, Brandy is a certified transformation coach. She helps people, specifically women, correct?
Yes.
Overcome obstacles, particularly when they are obstacles regarding personal growth. She is the founder and owner of H3 Revolution and Ladies on Fire, and she specializes in helping ladies with their mindset, and it doesn't matter where you're located because she can help you wherever that may be. Whatever time zone is you're into. So one cool thing with Brandy is she's a Spartan athlete. And that is what you see behind her are all those medals from those Spartan races. So we're going to dive into not only her journey with weight loss and becoming the mom that she wants to be for her little girl, and then also her experiences as a Spartan athlete. So Brandy, welcome. I'm so glad to have you. And people who are listening to this, you're in for a treat. Here we go.
Thank you so much for that introduction. I'm super excited to share my journey with you guys today and help you overcome the obstacles of moving some mountains in your life in regards to mindset. So it's absolutely amazing that we could join each other today.
Yeah. So Brandy, you're in California, correct?
Yes. California.
California. I'm here in Utah. So we're just 1 hour time difference.
She's
in Sunnyside. Do you have like fires going on around you? I'm sure.
We've kind of reduced down to some smoke here in Northern California. So I'm okay for now, but many protection over all the people who are suffering with these fires. It's pretty wild what our state is suffering, but what I've seen in people is just their resilience and leaning into their community in this time. So it's definitely a state of resilience, that's for sure.
Yes, wildfires. I know we have some crazy windstorms going on right now, like 100 mile an hour gusts.
Oh my goodness.
All sorts of things. So speaking of weather, Spartan races are in the weather. They are obstacle courses and all sorts of things. How did you get involved and why Spartan races?
So Spartan actually ended up changing my entire life and perspective on self-improvement. I started Spartan kind of as like a goal where I was like, you know what? I really want to do something hard. I joined CrossFit and it was that kind of goal piece for me that was like, if I can just do one Spartan race, I know I'm capable of doing crazy things in my life. And so I started CrossFit and I was like, oh man, my coach was absolutely incredible. I ended up starting on a Hero Watt day. I'll never forget. I started on 9/11 and he goes, welcome. And we're going to just modify you to what you need and hope you can do it. And I said, that was just so amazing that he welcomed me with open arms. And that's when I felt like I was in the right place and I needed to be in that space. And so what I did is I trained for about 3 months and I did my first race in my hometown in Sacramento. And I just remember the adrenaline of showing up to that start line. What I didn't know about Spartan was that you have to get over a wall at the start line before even starting the race. And this is very much like life, right? Where we want to do something for ourselves and we're presented with an obstacle right away. And I had been training for 3 months and I got to that start line and I couldn't get over that wall. And I just kept hitting the wall and I kept hitting the wall. And as my anxiety was rising and I was feeling that pressure of like, should I be here? Somebody comes up next to me and says, hey, do you need help? And I'm just like, oh, buddy, like, yeah, sure. If you're willing. And that man about threw me over the wall. So yeah, he threw me over this wall and I was burning with the anxiety of like, whoo, the adrenaline started. Here I realized that sometimes you need help to get started, right? So that energy was rising and rising and I get started. And let me tell you, I got over the next couple of walls by myself. It was that piece that I was like, I'm meant to be here. I should be doing this. And it took me almost 2.5 hours to finish a 3-mile race. But it was because I was learning that first piece of what I was capable of. And with every passing obstacle, I started to recognize that this was a grit sport that was made for people like me. People that have tenacity and will overcome those obstacles, regardless if we need help or how hard it is or how many times we have to try. Trust me, I was covered in mud and just like exhausted and bruised up. But when I crossed that finish line, it was no longer about weight loss for me. It was about getting stronger and faster and showing up for myself more and more. And so I set the next goal, which was I'm going to do a trifecta. And what a trifecta is it's these pieces here. So a trifecta is when you complete all three of these races in 1 year. So the red is for a 5K, the blue is a 10K, and then the green is a half marathon distance. So about 30 miles in 1 year. Now you can collect
all with obstacles, right?
All with obstacles, yeah.
I don't know if I could complete a half a marathon.
The half a marathon, those are absolutely exhausting. And my first one was in Lake Tahoe, and it was absolutely insane. And I trained and I was so like happy to be there, but man, that elevation really gets you.
Okay, that's like 8,500 feet.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. And this one here was last year's beast. And that's when I earned my first double trifecta. So a double trifecta is when you do 6 races in a year and you can keep adding to the pieces and do as many trifectas as you would like. And the medal grows with it. So in total, I have 6 of these trifectas. And last year was probably one of the hardest ones I received when I received my second trifecta in 1 year. So I hit that 6 races. I should be in Tahoe this month, but given the times and the race season canceled, this was one of my hardest courses. And this is very much like life. Here I had trained. I had done, at that time, I had finally finished about 12 races. And I was like, I'm going to finally get my first double trifecta, which is you get one of these pieces when you finish one trifecta, it doesn't come with its separate medal. But when you hit the double, you get a separate medal. And it's such an amazing feeling. But let me share what pushed me to the limit with that race. So I showed up for the beast. We were told it's going to be cold, at least have a wool layer. Weather is permitting in that way. So I'm on mile 8 or 9, and it starts this massive thunder and this massive like lightning storm. And the thunder was so loud that it like shook your body. And I was in the last 5 miles of my race and it starts snowing. And I was not prepared for the snow, just like life, right? Where we think we're prepared, we think we have what we need, and something comes in the middle. And I was so tired and I was so cold. All I had was my compression wear, a small thin wool layer, a windbreaker, and that was it. I had my regular trail shoes. I was freezing and I still had
probably dressed like wet too from all
the it was so cold. I was so wet and cold and just like I couldn't feel my hands. And they had evacuated the festival with all the people at the bottom of the hill waiting for their friends or family to finish. And they evacuated the festival. And this was a huge moment for me of just like going into my grit, leaning into that mindset piece of like, there's only 5 more miles. You've come this far. You can't go back. It's all about the follow through at that point. And I just remember just watching my feet and following the thin line of footsteps that were in the snow to follow the trail. And I finished that race and I was so cold I couldn't finish the last obstacle because my hands were so cold that I couldn't feel the rope in the turquoise. So it just slipped through my hands, right? And I just remember like feeling that piece of I'm about to cross the finish line of one of the hardest races of my life. And I finished the race and there was no one at the finish line. So it was really that personal piece for me that was like, I did this for myself. Every single one of these finish lines, I crossed for myself. The only person that's been there consistently is Sam, who's my love of my life. He's everything to me. And he's the only person that has shown up for me in everything that I do. None of my family has been there besides my cousin and my aunt one time and my second cousin, whom I reference like an uncle. And he was there for that race, but he was evacuated for the weather. So now I'm at almost 30 races, and all of those lines were for me, not for my family, not for my friends, not for anyone, but for me. And what Spartan taught me was to keep showing up for myself, to keep doing the hard, facing the suck, overcoming the obstacles, not being afraid to ask for help along the way, and moving the mountains in my life, no matter what the seasons brought me. And so it's something that's so important to me to teach people, is that no matter those obstacles that you're facing in your life, sometimes you got to get dirty. Sometimes you got to ask for help. Sometimes it makes you feel like you're not going to be able to get through, but trust me, you will be able to get through. And it is those mindset pieces that drive the success in your life. It's not about having the right piece or being with the right person or having all the glory. It's about showing up for yourself to persevere every time. And so when I circle back to that piece of like, it's not about weight loss and chasing that, I recognized after that first race, I was an athlete. And what it means to be an athlete is to have the camaraderie, the courage, and the competition. And those are the biggest pieces of Spartan. Those are the three values you'll see on these pieces. Because athleticism doesn't mean that you look elite, which, trust me, there is some solid elite athletes. But most athletes look like me. They all have stories. They all come from different backgrounds. They all start somewhere. But I'll tell you what, it is that heart and that spirit that shows up for others and themselves to complete the hard, to do what others would question of you. And so I began to step into the self-acceptance of who I was and everything I had been through in my life manifested in this metaphor of Spartan, where in my life, I'm somebody who's had to overcome tremendous trauma in my life, all the different seasons, loss, change, you know, moving, anything that you can think of, I have been through. And it is those pieces that built me to be who I am today, to be able to mentor others to overcome those obstacles in their life. And it's challenging, but it is worth it 150%. And so those are those massive pieces. As I collected these medals, I had to learn to stop negating my glory and my success. These medals used to sit in a bag, right? Like they used to sit in a bag, and because I don't do it for anything. I just do it because I love what I do. And I felt guilty like showing these things off because I was like, I don't do this for the medals, you know? But as I continued forward, it was those pieces of this was unshakable proof that I complete things for myself. I show up for myself. I have follow through. I have grit. I have tenacity. The list goes on. And it was something that I kept fearing in myself because it meant that I could do it. And a lot of people do this. A lot of people negate their success. Maybe they have a degree or a certification or medals of their own, and they go and they negate it. They put it down. They live in a limiting belief that they don't deserve to have what they have. And so I had to stop negating my success and honor the glory of what it took to succeed, not just on the course, but off the course as well. So it's something that is deep rooted in who I am. So when you see a Spartan, it's an identity. They say, I am a Spartan, because it is a mindset that makes them a Spartan, not the medals that we collect, but the mindset it takes to show up and complete something that difficult. I was in the middle of ultra marathon training when all of this COVID stuff hit. And what that is in a Spartan terms is an ultra marathon is 30 miles and 60 plus obstacles. And so I was preparing myself for one of the hardest pieces I was going to face in Tahoe that was supposed to be this month. So what am I doing? I'm continuing to train for next year so I can get myself ready to do that ultra marathon that I set my heart and mind to. And what I implore anyone that wants to do something hard, show up anyways. No matter how hard it is, no matter how scary it feels, show up anyways. You will surprise yourself every single time. Every single time. I make myself physically ill before big beast distances, the ones that are half marathons, I literally wake up in the morning and I'm physically ill every single time. And it's just because I know I can do it and it scares me, but I show up anyways. And I just tell myself, it's just my anxiety. I just got to show up anyways. And I complete it every single time. And so it's those pieces that you have to tell yourself that you are strong enough, that you are capable, you are worthy of the things that you want for yourself. Just got to show up and do it. And so that's my like Spartan piece and why Spartan is such a deep rooted piece of who I am, but it is definitely a mindset above all else.
Yeah. When you're talking about mindset and people not giving themselves credit for, I'm actually in this masterclass right now and we are just covering that exact topic where like we're all a badass. And
yeah,
we just forget that we have these moments because we're so close to them. We forget these moments. Yeah. Whereas we see people on Facebook or social media in whatever shape or form, and we're like, oh, they're so cool. Look at what they're doing. But we forget what we have accomplished.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think the challenging piece of that, and I'll call it as it is those of us who stop ourselves or feel guilty for the glory and the accomplishments is because we've been negated for or gaslit for the things that were important to us growing up. And that's a piece of our adult selves that we have to nurture and overcome so that we can accept not just what we're capable of and what we do for ourselves, but to honor it and continue to grow in it. And so it's that piece that we have to say, like, I don't have to gaslight myself or negate myself because I was so used to that. I have to inspire the loyalty to rejection to be able to move forward in my success, right?
Yes. Love that. So Spartan athlete, I played volleyball in college. Volleyball was my life for like 15 years. Then I graduated from undergrad and with my bachelor's degree, went on to medical school, and you don't have time for jack crap in medical school. So I don't think I've touched a volleyball since. Yeah, I love that. I love athletes. But I love the fact that you're exercising and you didn't go to a gym per se. Like, there are so many other avenues to get exercise in and to have
a
healthy lifestyle that doesn't require gym attendance.
100%. Yeah. And it's that what ignites your spirit, what makes you feel most connected to yourself. You know, for me, I never thought I would be a runner until I got into trail running. And trail running is a faster hiking, right? It's you're on the trail and you're at a good jog, but a good pace. And it makes me feel most connected to myself. And why is because I'm somebody who was robbed of that childhood piece, right? I used to have a very adventurous childhood. My parents were people who loved camping and going to the beach or going to the forest, or we have a cabin up in the Sierras that's a family cabin. We went camping every summer. And when my dad passed away, those routines changed. And then my mom got sick with breast cancer and the routine changed. And I kind of had to step into this role of like sister mom. So that was something that makes me feel connected to myself and my exercise was being able to go outside by choice and play in the forest or run anywhere in nature. It makes me connect with myself and my free spirit. And so that's the pieces outside of the gym. Some people love and thrive in the gym. I mean, I myself did CrossFit, so it was a space where I could have the camaraderie and do the hard lifting. But it's the trail running that keeps me connected with myself. And it's something I truly enjoy doing now. And I don't, you know, look at myself and say, oh, I didn't do this time today or I didn't do that. It's this space of like, I went as long as I wanted, as hard as I wanted, and I felt amazing. And those are the pieces that we feel connected with, right, in our exercise. And to your point, when we're talking about breaking the code around weight loss or total health and wellness, that is a huge piece of your total health is how you choose to move your body and feel that connection with your inner self and the exertion of your stress or pushing your body to do things to self-improve, right? And weight loss is truly, it's been a misplaced conversation for a lot of people, women especially, where we were placed in a space of validity and camaraderie. It's displaced to be on a diet and have something to connect with someone else about. Whereas really exercise and nutrition should be a part of self-care. And I had to understand I've gone through the National Academy of Sports Medicine. I've gone through precision nutrition, and I am obsessed with these elements of nutrition and exercise and health and wellness. And I have to say that the key bottom line is to lean into what makes your body thrive. What makes your mind thrive, what makes you thrive in your joy of the routines that you hold for yourself. And when chaos strikes, it's about genuinely staying seated in what makes you feel complete, what makes you feel comfort. And there's this displacement of comfort foods, right? So many people say, oh man, like I really leaned into my comfort foods, chaos strike, and I did this and I did that. There has to be a change in verbiage. Comfort foods are truly the whole foods, the greens, the colors, the things that just feed our body with energy. That's comfort. Not the fast foods, the sugars, the alcohol, although that's not comfort, that's chaos. And that's something that people have to change their verbiage around when they're saying, I want to lose weight. You don't want to lose weight. You want to lose the weight of excuses. You want to lose the weight of the chaos. You want to lose the weight of what's holding you back, the breaking of cycles, the limiting beliefs. That's what you want to lose. The physical body will follow when you lose the mindset weight that holds you back.
And say that again. When you lose the weight of excuses, lose the weight of keep going.
You're losing the weight of your excuses, the limiting beliefs, the generational patterns, you have to be the generational growth for yourself to succeed. When you lose those mindset weight pieces, your body will follow. I love you. Sorry. We're moms. This is real life. My daughter, she's here, and that's the space. But that's why I do what I do, because this little person is watching me as the generational growth for myself. She will learn self-love and self-acceptance, because what happens with our children is they model what they see. If you're watching this and you say to yourself, gosh, I watched my mother beat herself up, my grandmother beat herself up, my aunties, my friends, and we followed in those pieces, why? For pseudo camaraderie. And then we started to absorb those pieces as our own thoughts and beliefs and feelings. And so it takes undoing those patterns and limiting beliefs to live in a new mindset with the self that says, I am strong, I am capable, and I am worthy. Those are my core values with my business and the things that I do for myself. My values and strong, capable, worthy is what I hope and pray that my daughter will absorb for herself, because she doesn't see me stepping on the scale. She doesn't see me pulling on my body, because I don't do those things to myself anymore. I used to be obsessed. Listen, I've been as high as almost 300 pounds and in the discomfort and severity of being well underweight, but I am most happy now in myself, because I don't care what my scale says. I care about what my mind thinks. The scale was given way too much.
Brandy, I know I love you.
And it's those pieces that we lean into, right? When we're self-improving, so many women were given the wrong notion that their validity lied in the way that they looked and their body types. And that's the biggest reason why I chose the sunflower as my core, as my like symbol in my business and my brand, because sunflowers, they're always chasing the positive, right, in the sun. But when they fall on storms, they face each other to stay alive and share their energy. They detox their soil to grow, and they give back to what surrounds them. They give back in their seeds and in their beauty. And sunflowers come in every shape, size. They grow in every season all over the world. And they are a resilient flower. And so it became the sisterhood piece for me that I bind with other women who feel those pieces of their life where they're like, I need to detox my past to be able to grow. I need to face you in my storm so I can stay alive right now. And I want to give joy and be the positive and give back to those whom I love, but I need to grow. And those are the pieces that are so important when we are eliminating that limiting belief that somehow weight loss makes us valid. And we bring in the piece that self-acceptance is what should be the center, self-respect and self-worth. Notice that it has everything to do with the self-drive, that you have to, again, expire that loyalty to rejection, because validity lies truly in the self-love. And when you pour into knowing that it matters for you to set boundaries for yourself, to lean into the change by choice. As someone who's gone through a lot of trauma myself, I had to learn that the trauma in my life was change that I didn't choose. It was something that I had to navigate and was in this space of survival mode for the longest time. Then I had to empower myself with change by choice. And what a lot of women do is they displace diets as choice to change. But really, they should be placing the validity in self-improvement, in self-care, self-acceptance, and self-respect. That's where the change happens, not in the diet. And trust me, you can have camaraderie, just like I have in my sport, just like I have in my community, that has nothing to do with dieting. Because dieting is a way to put yourself down, not rise yourself up. And what we've found in dieting oftentimes is the fallback that happens when chaos strikes, because the loss of control and focus of just the want to have a routine. That's where the displacement happens in dieting, is dieting became a scapegoat for boundaries. For people say, I'm on a diet, I can't do this. I'm on a diet, I can't be there. I'm on a diet, I can't eat those things. And it was a scapegoat for boundaries. Just set the boundaries and watch what happens. Your body will follow, right? And I'm sorry, I get so passionate and I like catch myself talking too long and I'm sorry about that. But I get so passionate about these things because it's important for the cycles to be broken. And so I dive into the passion and I start losing myself and I'm sorry about that.
Women need to see themselves in a different light. Mama tells you, I mean, I always say, I know people who wear size one and they are sicker than sick.
Yeah, and they're not happy. Yeah,
and they eat the cleanest, and they have the healthiest lifestyle, and they're absolutely they're happy. They're healthy. They're strong. So we have to debunk this media outlet, and then I love the fact that you say diet is a way to put yourself down, not pick yourself up.
Oh yeah, and I've seen this once, and it totally makes sense. It says we can all eat the same things and do the same exercises, and we will still have different bodies. And it's so important for you to understand that as a person, that it's important for you to lean into what's important for your health and your well-being. Because if when it comes to health, the word heal is included. You need to heal yourself. Healing is on every level of total health. You have to step into the mental health spaces, the circumstantial spaces, the physical spaces. There's so many things that come into healing ourselves. That's what the body manifests. I became obese in that space because, and malnourished, because I was in a space of manifesting how I felt. I was feeding the displacement in my life, where I needed to place myself in other spaces. I was hurting myself to physically feel what my circumstance was around. Instead of focusing on how I could change the circumstance, I focused on how I could hurt myself. And then I would click on the diet and say, I want to improve. So then I displaced the improvement in dieting where it needed to be placed on the self-improvement, in the mindset, in the healing, in the health, right? Healing is so powerful. Healing is so powerful.
When I work with patients, we do the three components. We do the physical component because, of course, it's necessary. But then we have to change the emotional aspect and the mindset. If you don't believe that you're worthy of living the life that you were designed to live, if you believe that you are only worthy of having fibromyalgia or whatever the case may be right now, and if you don't believe that you're worthy of beating it, no physical treatment in the world is going to work.
Absolutely. Mindset is everything. It's amazing what the biggest muscle in ourself has power over, right? People forget that our brain's a muscle, that it has to grow and like in a space of being nurtured, and it controls everything in our body. You can mentally manifest pain, even if there's not actual pain. You could mentally manifest it.
Yeah, you can tell yourself you want to tell yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the same goes for when people are saying, I can't lose weight. Well, that's what will happen. If you manifest that, it will happen. It's this space that people have to understand that nurturing the mindset nurtures the body. And so it's challenging to help people understand that when they've been told over and over. And it's a saturated space. I mean, the health and wellness industry is so saturated with so many different opinions. People are like, what is supposed to work for me? And that's the space where people like us who are coaches come in and narrow those pieces for somebody and say, what's important to this person is not going to be important to that person. And that's the important space, right?
Let's address because we're thinking about beyond the diagnosis here. So say you have a diagnosis, say it's hypothyroidism. Say you have Hashimoto's and hypothyroid crap.
Okay, yeah, so
at one point in your life, your body manifested those symptoms that gave you a diagnosis. It's one of my biggest pet peeves. Like, I used to have asthma. It drives me crazy when people are like, oh, well, she has asthma. I never tell myself it's not allowed in my mind anymore. Because I've changed my diet, I've done all the healing factors. Asthma's not a factor in my life before. 10 years ago, it was. But now it's not a factor. And I don't let it be that way. So if you have that mindset of, well, I have this, or I have that, or I have all this stuff wrong with me, but nobody can tell me what's the cause or what it is. Stop looking for someone to put a label next to your name.
Exactly. And to that point, I have polycystic ovary syndrome. I cannot tell you how many women are saying, I can't do that. I have polycystic ovary syndrome. I said, you're limiting yourself into a diagnosis. And that's what happens with so many people in their mindset is they live in the fear. Yeah, they live in the fear of a diagnosis rather than doing their best to move the mountain or overcome the obstacle of the diagnosis and nurture and find ways to have the tenacity to find ways, just like you did with your asthma. And it's not to say that your body doesn't respond sometimes in stress, because that's very real. But it is important for you to continue with the tenacity pieces of overcoming the diagnosis. And I'm not taking away from those who suffer with symptoms, because they do. But I would challenge somebody to really listen to yourself and nurture your mindset. Give it 60 days, 90 would be better. And really watch how your body changes when you start nurturing mindset pieces and tenacity of being in the solutions and testing, trial and error, right? It takes so much time to understand how your body works, but trust me, the stress and the cortisol release that comes from it, cortisol is a toxic to your body. And so when you're living in your stress and you're constantly limiting yourself and you're constantly saying, I can't, the body responds to the cortisol. So find the de-stressing aspects of your life so that your body can stop being inflamed and showing symptoms and signs, right? So it's those pieces that, I agree with you in regards to the diagnosis and overcoming diagnosis. It's challenging. I was unfortunate to be a BRCAA gene carrier, which is a cancer gene. My mother had it, my aunt had it, and my results came back. But I refuse to live in the fear of this gene, where I say, I'm still going to do the things that ignite my spirit. I'm still going to take care of my body. And I'm going to do what I have to do.
That fear of the gene.
Yeah. And it's those pieces that I had to tell myself, like, you know what? I can't live in the fear. I have to live my life for what ignites me, not what I'm being told by the external world, but how I choose to internalize the resilience and the perseverance, right? And so, again, it goes back to that point that your mindset will manifest. Your mindset manifests all the things that you think of, you can think it to life. And so try to reduce fear and live in tenacity. I keep saying tenacity because when you lean into tenacity, you're leaning into solutions and change. And shifting the mindset creates and manifests positive resilience in the life. I've only shared slices of my life with you today, but trust me, my life has been a wild ride. And when I look back on different seasons and times of my life, I don't even recognize that person from 10 years ago or 5 years ago even. And it's because when you lean into self-improvement, you start to become the ideal self out of the tenacity to make that happen. So you're not limited to where you're at right now. You can live in the moment, stop living in the past. And that's the pieces a lot of people suffer with, is they suffer with the past and they suffer with their fear rather than living in the now.
I've seen people that are just so, with my patients and the people who I follow, and you really have to go from, okay, I might be suffering from these symptoms now, but what can I do to change? Because just like you and I, like we've had our kids coming in and coming out, like you have to find a reason to why. Like you deserve to live the life that you're designed to live. So stop telling yourself that you don't.
Absolutely. I 150% agree. If we lived in the limiting belief that we couldn't do what we love because we are stay at home, does not mean, in and out. And what do? We find solutions. We're not pushing, shoving our kids off, guys. Like they're a part of, my daughter's literally sitting a foot away from me. She's adjusted to knowing that this is my job. This is what I do, but she gets to be a part of it in my office, in my space. But it makes me a real person, okay? Our kids are the most important piece of our life. There's an element when it comes to self-love that being a parent ignites a different level of self-love. When you see your heart on the outside of your body, it makes you want to rise up to everything that you can be because someone is watching you and idolizing you and wanting to be the unconditional love in your life. And that's so important for parents to hear, that whatever is in your passion point to do, whatever ignites your soul to do, show up anyways. Your kids are down for the ride. They want to be there. They want to see it. That's why they try to get into our office and into our space all the time, because they're like, hey, hi, I just want to see what you're doing. And that's the truth. And we're like, I'm glad you want to see what I'm doing, honey. I'm just in the middle of a sentence right now. Like, it's that speech that we have to tell ourselves, that like, they're not being shoved off. They're just learning to adjust with us. And that's what we do and what we do well, because I'll tell you now, man, moms are some of the most resilient people you've ever met in your life, man. They can do 20 things at once. And we're like, it's fine. It's fine. I'm used to this. And most people look at us on the outside and be like, how do you do all that? It's like, it's fine. It's fine. I'm used to it. You know,
finishing up here, give me the number one tip that you used to change your mindset and get from where you were 10 years ago to where you are now. What was the step piece that you always fall back to?
I would say that the biggest piece that I lean into the most is the change by choice. That is the biggest piece. And the core values of strong, capable, worthy. And I've said this a couple of times, but you are strong enough to do the things that you want for yourself because of your humble past. You are capable of doing anything that you set your heart and mind to because of your tenacity to hustle and show up for yourself. And that you are worthy of the glory that you create in your life and the success that you create in your life and the change by choice, and that you can absolutely love yourself and you deserve to love and value yourself unconditionally, no matter what. Those are the pieces that ignite me and carry me through all my seasons and are my core values in myself and in my business and my brand.
Love it. All right, ladies, write this on your mirror so you say it every day. I am strong.
Yes.
I am capable.
Yes.
I am worthy.
Yes.
Love yourself.
Yes. 100% every day.
Okay. I love it. Well, thank you, Brandy. If you guys want to learn more from Brandy, she has a Facebook page and an Instagram page. Brandy, tell us where they can find you.
You can add me on Facebook. You can find me at facebook.com/H3Revolution. You can find my personal page there. If you want to add me on Instagram, you can add me on H3Revolution or on Mama Brandy Gets Fit. And there is a period after each word. So mama.brandy.gets.fit. And you can see my story deeper dive on all those social platforms. But I look forward to connecting with you.
I will have that written down in the notes as well as the podcast notes too. So you guys can find her. Definitely reach out for her. She's a remarkable mindset coach. As you well know now, stop worrying about what the scale says and stop worrying about confidence in yourself. Self-love, self-improvement. There you go. Once again,
yes.
Strong. I am capable. I am worthy. Thanks, Brandy.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Beyond the Diagnosis with me, Dr. Kylie. If you enjoyed this and you learned something new, if you felt empowered in any way, please go invite 3 of your friends to come join us. And then meet me right back here again next week.